Good afternoon. Today is Monday, June the 17th, 164th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude, Mr. John Dalby. Hey, guy.
Hey, it's good to be here. Good to see you.
And you're Natalie attired. I love your pants.
Oh, yes. We have similar slacks on today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a casual day today. We do this occasionally at the bank where we pay $5 for a good charity. And today, our $5 from each employee is going towards Honor Flight.
Ah, well, that's one we've heard a lot about.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What a great program that's been.
I guess, not to deviate too much, but they're going to try it out of Ukiah and Willits.
Good.
Replicating what Catherine and Steve and the troops did here.
They've just done a great job here.
Yeah, that's neat stuff. And I guess there's supposed to be another round for Korean? Is that what they're starting to do?
I don't know,
for?
But I wouldn't doubt
it. Doesn't matter. The five goes to a good cause,
there
regardless of the details. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the economic index that was released last week. Also, an airline update and an opportunity for you to help out some less fortunate kids. When we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Mary Poole.
I wonder
if she has one.
Yeah. That would be Mary's pool.
Yes, okay. Yes, okay, that possessive thing. Darn. Okay, from Mary Poole. Quote, leadership should be more participative than directive, more enabling than performing. Tough stuff to do. So you're going to lay the smack down early on this show, huh?
There you go. So, I thought that's what you needed.
Thanks. I do. It's probably tough for people who are used to doing and somehow ended up in a mid-management or senior management position, not to keep doing the do that they love to do so well.
What's always one of the challenges of moving from doing a job to being the manager of people doing the same job, and oftentimes we promote the best person, in that job to becoming the manager, and that's not always the best thing for the employee or for the team. So you have to be very, very careful that you put the right person in because of their management skills, not because of their doing skills.
I think that's why catchers and utility players tend to be the best managers. I remember a quote with Ted Williams it was the last year at Washington with the original Senators, and then they went to Texas, and it was the first Rangers, not the current. And he was selected manager. And he couldn't understand why you guys weren't able to hit the ball. Because for him, it was see, hit.
Right.
That's it. I mean, there was not, film study and all that. Nah, see and hit. Really simple basics. And he was able to excel that. But to transfer that to others, nah. It became so frustrating. That's why he resigned after a year.
Well, you got to have leadership skills. Leadership is something that is very difficult to create.
Because he had the charismatic element, and people wanted to do it, but they didn't have the tools.
Right.
Just, some of those things, and you can drive yourself batty sometimes, I think.
Batty? Is that a...
Oh, good. I didn't even lose that one on you. You're firing at all cylinders today. Maybe it's because you don't have the tie on.
There
huh?
you go.
You're right there with me.
Well, since we're on the whole baseball theme here.
Whoa! He even made that walked across the bridge.
Okay, there we go. So July 11th, Redwood Capital Bank is sponsoring the Crabs. This is Cleats for Kids Night. And if you would like some free tickets to the Crabs game, bring some cleats in, or a baseball glove, or you know something like that. And we
we'll
give you a couple of tickets for the Crabs game. And in fact, right here I have four tickets for you and your family to attend.
Cool.
And there'll also be a barbecue, and we look forward to seeing you.
Do we get chairs with these tickets?
Yes, you can.
Okay, they're not SRO then.
But also, if you have a set of cleats from when you were a kid, we don't want them.
I've tried. You know,
we could use them.
When I was going
through,
it was all it was the plastic cleats, and then I think I used a pair that Dad had used playing ball, who was my first medals, you know, for Babe Ruth. Yeah, they didn't last too long. They weren't very cool. They had been used, you know, and I guess anytime you get paid to play, they're cool. But they didn't really last that long, and they were small.
Huh.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Well, thank you very much.
So July 11th, Cleats for Kids, and we're hoping to see a lot of people at the ball field and bring some cleats in for unfortunate children so they can play baseball too.
Local kids?
We're leaving that up to the Crabs, where they're going to use them the most and get the best benefit out of them.
Yeah, it's kind of cool seeing some of those, just, you know, you hear those stories in various places about kids that can't play, kids that are playing barefoot, things of that nature. It's kind of like, you know, for us, you know, we got glasses, Lions Club, you know, with their glasses. And it may not even be American, but there's still people that
need glasses.
You know, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. No, well, I'd be blind in one eye. I was born 2200. So, I mean, there's no chance that eye would be functioning. But mm-hmm. how many of us without glasses
right.
would be able to function or function as we do today? Of course, now I'm just having a tough time seeing, reading anything under a 12-point anyway. So, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. When we come back, we'll talk some serious talk. Yeah, okay, fine. We'll be back.
Now I'm going to Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with President of Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby. John, the Humboldt Economic Index is something that is an intriguing concept. It's kind of cool, but it's intriguing. I think for a lot of folks, the information is there, presented easy enough to understand. But with the general lack of blind faith that we have in any numbers anymore based on some of the games that get played at the federal level
right
or at the state level, what is the foundation of this? Where do the numbers come from? What is your level of comfort and belief in the credibility of the raw data?
What we're referring to is Humboldt State's Economic Department puts out an index. Let me back up to the genesis of this, and that may explain where the numbers come from. Way back in the day, when I was back at Humboldt Bank, in the late 90s.
You may want to explain what Humboldt Bank was.
Yeah. It
was. Oh, you think about it.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, we start using benchmarks and references of over 15 years, and things aren't anymore. Bill Beasley's.
There you go. Humboldt Bank was the predecessor to Umpqua here. It was a wonderful community bank, and I had the pleasure of working there. But frequently we were asked this question, what's happening with the local economy? And the only data we really had was in some of the economic journals for the state.
Sales tax tracking, right?
Well, all they would have is maybe one sentence and sometimes a paragraph on what's happening in Humboldt County. So this is really the brainchild of Ted Mason. He was the president of Humboldt Bank. And so we, the bank, approached Humboldt State University, talked to him about the necessity for this index. And Steve Hackett there, who was the head at that time, took on the project and created this index. So what it does, it tracks numbers that we can generate locally. For instance, manufacturing, hospitality. So we have a number of businesses here locally that report their sales on a monthly basis to Humboldt State University, and then the students then take those numbers and create the indice. And it's been the same for quite some time. We are my understanding is that they are changing the manufacturing element, because it was weighted very heavily when this thing was done on the timber and lumber industry. So that is being shifted, and we're getting some input from some other industries to create this index. But, other than that, there aren't any games played with this. This is not political. It's not released by the government. It's released by Humboldt State University Economics Department. So it's a good read, and it gives you some sound data that you can make decisions on, or at least get an idea of what's happening. And anybody can look at it. It's on their website.
Looking at some of the figures, I mean, there, a lot of them are things that we hear about on the national level, unemployment figures as a percent. But we get into something like unemployment, and it's based on those filing unemployment claims. And then you get those who are disenfranchised or who are given up that fall off. So now a lot of the national figures are reporting and tracking employed. Just employed as a raw number rather than percentages of those looking for unemployment claims.
Yeah. And I agree that that is a better view of what's happening. We've basically created an environment in which a lot of people fall off of out of the work pool simply because they're either stopped looking, or a lot of them are underemployed. They've taken on part-time work and therefore quote employed, but they certainly aren't employed to the point in which they can raise a family and a living wage.
The underemployed is really a tough one to track, because there is nothing that's there, but I think the employed certainly is an easy one. Right. And we're going to run into that, I think, as we approach the end of the year. Seeing a lot of folks who are hiring up to 30 hours to avoid any of the potential stuff that goes on with what you have to do for a full-time employee,
mm-hmm.
which falls right into that same thing again. Are you employed? Are you not employed? Are you at what level? And then you got the compensation. That's going to become very much more challenged in the future.
You're going to see a lot of employers hesitant to put on full-time employees because they don't know what their health care costs are going to be. Now we're hearing in the media that it's going to skyrocket as the affordability plan kicks in January 1. And I don't know how much of that is political scare tactics, how much of it is reality, but We're going to find out.
Yeah, in about 7 months, we ought to start to have a clue what that means.
Well, it'll be less than 7 months, because when the insurance companies come around to talk to us about the hikes that are going to take place in January or what's going to happen, you'll know then.
Well, our guys, and I presume your guys also, are saying things like, study the course, we're not sure yet.
Correct. They don't know.
So it's just kind of hanging out there. The other thing that I find really interesting as a presented area is gas prices, and maybe we can talk about that one when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more interesting with John Dalby.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, the gas price tracking is something that I find interesting, and I think it's one of those areas, and I would love to see somebody do a thesis study on it, because I know that it's there, but it needs to be quantitated instead of just intuitive, that the gas prices seem to really be a significant impact to the discretionary purchase, or I guess it's maybe not even discretionary purchases, of people in Humboldt County, because the gas prices are so significantly higher than what they are in other areas. Now, I know Chicago went up to $4.24 as an average a couple weeks ago for a couple of days, but over time, no secret on that one. Compound that with Richardson's Grove and the cost of goods being delivered into Humboldt County being 3 to 4% higher. Put those two things together. What is the economic impact? Or said differently, how much extra does it cost to live in our area than it does anywhere USA because of those two factors?
Well, there's other factors that compound, you know, that also. For instance, one is because we're a rural community, places are further apart than others. So, you know, if you have to go to Fortuna or Arcata, you know, distances.
Get the opportunity right to go to Fortuna and Arcata.
You know, if you want to go to another area, you know, it's 3 hours over to Redding, 3.5 to Santa Rosa.
2 to 3 hours to get anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we do more driving, plus because of the mountainous territory and the weather conditions in the winter, most people have four-wheel drive vehicles. So you add that up, our cost of transportation is going to be significantly more than it would be in many other locations. So, yes, it does have a significant impact for all the reasons that you had cited. And Richardson's Grove, that's one of those things that impacts us all, but we don't see it because we don't go to the gas pump and pay it. But when the STA vehicles can come through Richardson's Grove up here, it's going to cut our shipping costs substantially both ways.
Which either results in a healthier economy from the consumer perspective or a healthier economy from the business perspective, more apt to hire more employees.
Well, and
from either way, it's a win-win.
Yeah, and from the environmental, because
and safety,
there'll be fewer trucks coming through there, which means there'll be less fuel, less, you know, emissions, et cetera.
Yeah, right. It seems like
it's a winner all the way through.
Winner chicken dinner.
That too.
I'm just a little hungry early. That's all. So with those kind of set aside, what do you read in the index this time around?
Well, we're seeing some positive things happen in the housing market. And in the past, economic recessions have been, we've been led out by the housing element. And in this particular recession, housing is the one thing that hasn't recovered. And that's why our recovery is so slow. We're now seeing more home sales, which is evident now, not only the index, but what we're seeing in our mortgage operations is that we're seeing more purchase money transactions and fewer and less of the refinance.
Let me throw an anomaly in there then for you. Okay, we got two areas that this report has. One's building permits, mm-hmm. new home construction, and the other is home sales. Merle Hartman, chief of police for Eureka, was in a couple weeks ago, and he said, it's interesting what's going on with housing. I said, really? He said, yeah, housing sales are going on, but people aren't living in them. Artificially driving the demand up. He knew of a UC professor that they just busted who bought five houses up here.
Great.
Three were inside of Eureka, mm-hmm. two adjacent to Eureka. All five were used as grow houses. Taking five units off the rolls for anybody else with a limited inventory, driving the cost of housing up, but no associated job or cash flow with that.
Well,
so it's kind of another weird anomaly of Humboldt County.
Yeah, we're not
when we're
seeing,
looking at that.
We're not seeing as much of, I guess we haven't run into it. Maybe we hang out with the wrong crowd, but we're not seeing much of that. But what, you know, part of this index is electrical use. And so for the same reasons, when you see a jump in electrical use, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's creating jobs. And the theory here is that industry uses electricity, and so if there's more electrical use, there's more industry.
Well, it is an industry.
Yeah.
Well, and is there anything in here referencing Arcata with their agreement with PG&E?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
That would be interesting also to see if there's got to be a correlation in there somewhere. See, I got all kinds of ideas for projects for kids from the university. KINS, News and Information Times 335. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, one of the things, you know, we talked a little bit about the economics and the update with the index for Humboldt County. Another area, that, and I don't know if it's because we're getting old, because we've been around too long, what the story is, but it seems almost like a revolving wheel. Every couple of years, we come back to the same things over airlines. I think, to me, that if we wanted economic stimulation in Humboldt County, there are two easy no-brainers. The first is we host soccer tournaments throughout the year. Put AstroTurf on every field. Because we've got the infrastructure here, and we've got the boarding, and people like to come here. We could have tournaments in February on an all-weather. We could have them in November. We could have them any time, and it doesn't require any. Now it wouldn't require anything but to invest the proceeds into all-weather, because we've got all these rooms all over the place. We don't need to create anything. Just take advantage of what we have.
Interesting idea.
Well, I know what rubbish heap that one landed on. And the other, to me, is the airplanes. Getting people into our area cheaper. Not even more consistently. Just cheaper. I mean, people are used to flying from L.A. to San Francisco for $50 one way. Why would they pay 10 times as much to go a third of the distance? It just doesn't make any sense. And yet, I would suggest that if we want growth, if we want economic development, if we want these things that keep an area not only vibrant, but sustainable, you got to have people coming into the area to discover it. 101, it's kind of tough. You know, they say redwoods happen where? Santa Rosa? Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe they make it, maybe they don't. But if the airplane travel was back to $200 round trip for either from San Francisco or from LA, maybe 150, I think all of a sudden we boom, because people tired of the rat race are here. People looking to have their kids grow are here. We're able to get products in and out from here. I think here comes on the map, regardless of the name of the airport. What kind of sense do you have about the vitality and the need for the critical nature of having multiple carriers?
I see the need less. What you're talking about is tourism. I see it less
being, in business too.
Being tourism, I see it more on the business and the connectivity side of doing business. I mean, I know of people that want to live here, but because their occupations require travel,
they
can't be here. So, you know, you're seeing an exodus of certain types of jobs in industry because there's a lot of travel required in what they do. So it's very important from the aspect of, you know, like the hospital, the university for businesses. You know, I probably
and travel, new business attraction too.
Right, I probably travel less than I would simply because of the hassle factor of trying to fly out of here. So with that, we do have an employee of the bank, Greg Foster, who is very involved in bringing recruiting some airlines in here. So I've got some updates. He just came back and has been on a recruiting trip, something that the bank sponsors for him to go. And so we do have, I'm not going to name who they are, but we do have some airlines that are talking about adding some connections for us. So, for instance, Los Angeles is again back on as a possibility. San Diego, Seattle.
Direct flights?
Direct flights. Portland. Denver is a possibility. And Las Vegas.
So all of those direct out of here to a bunch of hubs. And I didn't hear SFO, Oakland or Sacramento.
Well, we have, Sacramento is one that they're talking about expanding because we have service to Sacramento now.
Right.
But expanding that service, I think it's just one in and one out every day. And so it really limits you what you can do out of Sacramento.
So would this be a choice of maybe two of those, seven or eight that were listed, or all of them?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you're talking to...
Okay, what's Greg indicating?
We're talking to four different airlines.
Okay.
And each one has their own hubs, and you know, we may get one, we may get none, we may get four, in addition to having
The colors we have now.
Right.
What kind of timeline? In the month, by the end of the year, by the end of the decade?
I think definitely by the end of the year. Could be sooner. Depends on who it is.
But one carrier, not multiple carriers coming in.
I don't know. We don't know.
So even that one is a possible.
But I mean, you're pitching it to four different carriers, all of which have expressed interest. Because if you look at this, we have far more demand for flights out of our hub than our airport.
No, I mean, call it a hub. Yeah, it just makes it sound good.
Then we do flights available. And so when carriers come in here, we do fill their planes pretty well. So they're looking at that saying, gee, this is a great opportunity.
Cool. Thanks for coming by.
Look forward to seeing you again.
Sometime in the near future. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.